not be going on all over the country. His Don Rogers trip report this week just came out of my desk this morning. He was in Columbus, Indianapolis, and Chicago, and he said just pulling the rank and file. And incredible results. I mean, way mammoth leads among the union leaders that he was talking to. They've been, they go around and sample in their areas before they come out. Billy Martin, the head of the operating engineers in Illinois, 12,000 members, he endorsed this yesterday morning, and did so after he took a poll of his membership, and he said his locals came back almost unanimous, all but unanimous, is this report, for the president. And we had a poll of a Teamsters union in the Queens, 5-1. They had a straw poll as they came into their meeting. 5-1 for us in the Queens. Well, you just can't get these kind of things going on across the country everywhere. Baltimore Building and Trades Council endorsed.
And I'm particularly pleased, too, that the McGovern people are arguing about whether they should go for the, for the more intelligent suburbs or for the blue collar, and they don't know which to do. Well, let me say, I hope to Christ they go for the suburb. You see, that's the kind of thing we rejected.
Exactly right.
Remember, we've been around the track on that.
That's right.
That's where the domestic council boys, the member Harper and his stuff, said, no, our real strength is out there in those suburbs, and we should play that. Hell, if we don't get those people, it's just too bad.
That's right.
I mean, sure, a lot of them are weak on the war and the rest, and a lot of them may go there, but they aren't going to, they can't go with McGovern because of the intelligence.
No, that's exactly right.
But I just hope McGovern goes for them.
Oh, Jesus, I read that and I thought, isn't that delightful? I can just hear the debate going on. Gary Hart is saying the wave of the future, and it's all out there in those suburbs. And
that's right.
And Frank Mankiewicz is saying, the hell it is, the Democratic strength is the pork chop vote. And I can hear the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And for the best thing is, if they keep arguing about it, go for neither. But
right.
But McGovern is not doing anything in the ethnic areas. Now, he'll try. But
he's going to do Polish and Italian things this week, of course.
Well, he'll try. And so he makes a little bit of inroads. My God, we're still in that Harris demographic, the Italian and Irish vote, we're winning by better margins than we're winning nationally. It's just, but the thing that, personally, I put more stock in, the polls that you get around the country.
I think you're right about that. I haven't thought of that so much, but I think these polls around the country are terribly important. The ones in depth that the news guys do and so forth. Knowing that they're not really trying to help us. They're really reporting what they find.
Well, they're going out talking to people. I mean, it's like Doug Hallett going into the bar in Inman Square. I mean, you're going to find out what people are thinking. And I don't believe and Harris, by the way, doesn't dispute this. This is Scammon's thesis, that you have to go out and find out what the people are thinking, and you have to take key precincts and really examine them in depth, because when you do a national poll, you're not necessarily, you just can't tell today that the demographics are that good. You can argue the statistics all you want, but if you have huge pockets of strength for one candidate or another, it can distort it.
Yeah.
Here's a Hardin County, Kentucky poll.
Hardin County?
Hardin County,
that's
Kentucky.
That's tough mine working country. I've been there.
Okay, 88% Nixon, 11% McGovern, 1% Schmidt.
Oh, Christ.
And so you just,
That's good country. Those are good, Kentucky people who have, still make moonshine and carry their flintlock muskets and...
Well, the paper down there endorsed Huddleston, who is running against Nunn, and endorsed you, and published its poll. It was sent to me by friend who's been down there. And we're just carrying the... We're just sweeping the goddamn place. So there's too much of this going on around the country for me to think that anything...
Well, Chuck, the thing that I think is important is that this... The reason that the Gallup thing, and this is the last one I even want to hear about, the reason this is important now is that the McGovernites, the New York Times endorsed the assholes and all the rest, and the news magazines are trying to give them a beaten build-up and everything now, the networks and the rest. Now, I think this could be a hell of a crusher for them. What do you think?
Oh, I think it is, Mr. President.
Because they've been counting on it,
right.
And they've been working on Gallup, and they put him through the ringer up there before the committee.
Oh, did they?
But he still comes up with this, and they know that he leans to him on the war, too.
That's right.
Or do you agree?
I agree totally. I think that what this is with both national pollsters showing a 28-point spread, with Sendlinger, who after all got yesterday a hell of a national press, showing a 41-point spread. With all of these...
Yankelovich earlier showing a...
Yankelovich
huge.
Showing a 39-point spread.
Right.
Now, somewhere, you know, in all of this, it's just so big.
So maybe we end with 20, so what's wrong with that? Huh?
Well, that's right. That's a Goldwater Johnson margin, almost.
22.
But the point is, Mr. President, that while I look at my little chart here and I see 38 days, and I think, my God, that's a long time. When you're ahead, it's a long time. They're looking at 38 days saying, what in hell can we do in 38 days to turn this thing around? I mean, they've got to knock off almost a point a day. And they can't do that. I mean, they might do it if the feelings weren't very hard across the country.
That is the key point.
My thesis is that the decision has all set in with the public. They've made their minds up. That they're not sitting out there saying, gee, I'm not so sure. It's not soft, and it really isn't soft. I mean, that is very clear in Teeter's polling. I had a long talk with Teeter this week about that. That's very clear in his polling. It's extremely clear with Sendlinger. And it just seems to me that people have decided, two-thirds of them already have, and according to Teeter, an unfavorable impression of McGovern. That's goddamn hard to turn around. I mean, it would take something terribly dramatic, and we we're not going to make any mistake. So he's, you know, also when you look at this Gallup stuff, you got to remember that that there would be a normal closing, and there has been in previous elections, normal closing, and especially after coming after our convention, I would consider this to be virtually nothing for 1 month, one solid month, one half of the campaign, in effect. In fact, it is one half of the campaign. 72 days against 38, that's half of the campaign, and this is the best that they're able to show any closing. This is, you know, virtually insignificant politically. And I think fully, I don't think the press are going to play this as a huge lead and no dramatic shift. In other words,
I don't give a damn. Let them play it as some chip. They're saying McGovern closes the gap. That's the way. That's what they'll try. But good God,
can't say that after Harris had his a week ago with the same margin.
Yeah.
No, they'll play this as a confirmation of Harris that there's been a slight movement, but it's but 28 points is a massive lead on the first day of October, and that's when this will be published. The first day of October.
Yeah.
28 points separating the candidates. That's right back where I guess it isn't quite what 64 was. Was it? What was that?
I think it was about that. You mean how it ended up?
Well, no.
Oh, not how it ended up. Yeah, that's what they were showing around.
Well, here we are. October 18th, Gallup was 64-29.
64-29.
Yeah, on October 18th.
You see, Gallup, as I said, missed 64 quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
What did he come up with there? What did Harris have then?
I don't have the Harris figures for 64.
What were Gallup's other figures in October? He never did show Goldwater more than 31, did he?
No. 32. September 27th, he had 68-32.
68-32
on September 27th.
Just go on. And then by October, he had him on?
64-29.
That was his last poll.
No, November 2nd, he had 61-32. See, he had a steady decline for Johnson from September 27th.
Yeah.
Johnson
but it went from, but it was 61-32
on November 2nd.
Yeah. And look what it ended up, though.
That's right. The entire undecided one.
That's
almost.
Right. Now, in the case of, when was his first October 1 poll? 32.
That was September 27th,
68-32.
Right.
See, well, Johnson started at a higher level. He always did it.
That's right.
That doesn't make any difference.
But you see, as a matter of fact, this is interesting also. 33 points McGovern has now. Goldwater had 32.
Mm-hmm.
Same period.
Correct.
So, you know, so maybe it's a little closer than it was in 64, but my God, what a landslide that was. And there was never the feeling of that closing, ever. I remember.
In that year?
Oh, Jesus, we.
68.
I mean, it was just.
We knew it was a goner.
Sure. All the way. And they know it's a goner. And,
and also, we want to remember, too, in that year, Chuck, nobody was tilting the polls to Goldwater. They were all still tilting them to Johnson.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
At the present time, if there's any tilting, it's being done to McGovern, except for, you know, Gallup and Harris are both tilting them to McGovern.
Well, we know that. We know that for another reason, Mr. President, that Teeter is finding no change where he's going back and checking. So
Sinlinger finds no change.
And Sinlinger finds no change. So, and Sinlinger's raw data, for Christ's sakes, he had 2,800 interviews this past week, and we have a 40-point lead. Now, that's 2,800 interviews. He can miss some of the blacks, and he can miss some of the poor people, and but he just is not off that all that much. He's maybe it's 38 points, or maybe it's 37 points, but it will be, it's the trend that counts. It's the big that we are today at the biggest bulge that we've had, and we've had it steadily now for 4 weeks. It hasn't showed any sign of moving at all. So there's been, so even if Sinlinger is inaccurate, even if his 40 points is inaccurate, the point is that over the last 4 weeks there's been no closing. And that's what is important. There hasn't been that point when you can almost sense in a poll when it begins to go the other way. That hasn't happened. That's what tells me that both Harris and Gallup are saying, well, we just can't believe that that it can be this way. Just can't believe it. And so they're hedging themselves. They're protecting themselves. They're worrying about their credibility. Gallup was very sensitive on those hearings on the Hill.
Uh-huh.
And Harris went the other way. Harris got...
He said the hell with you.
Oh, yeah. What he said is that a lead like this cannot be overcome. And then he caught a lot of heat. The New York Times wrote a nasty piece. And then he said, well...
The Times wrote a nasty piece?
Oh, yeah. They stuck him on it. That, you know...
Said look at Dewey, yeah?
Well, in saying that it was uncharacteristic of a pollster to say something like... I forgot. They used a phrase that...
Yeah.
That I know got under Lou's craw. And so then he said, well, I'd be afraid if I were President Nixon that with such a massive lead, maybe people wouldn't come out and work and vote, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Well, they are hedging themselves. But, no, I'm very pleased with this. I tell you, the one fear that I had, Mr. President, was not with the results, because I know I'm right with what's happening in the country. I just feel it.
That's right.
And I can study it, and I know the kind of people to talk to, since 1956, I have never had I've always felt a campaign and felt it about right, but I know what's going on in the country. My fear was that Gallup wanting to make news, and when they pull it...
We'll trim it a little more.
Trim it a little more than Harris in order to be able to say Gallup finds further Nixon erosion, you see, and that would give him a big headline.
Oh, this isn't... Well, this won't be interpreted that way, no.
Oh, hell no. No. But my fear was he would cut our lead to, say, 24 points, and... even though that's mammoth, people would say, well, went from 34 to 28, now to 24, you know, there's movement. But they won't take this as movement. This is a confirmation of a massive lead, anybody in politics looking at this is going to say, well, if that's the best that that McGovern can get out of being out on the road every day, started his advertising early, has been on the road every day, has tried to get into 3 media centers a day, has had enormous exposure. And if that's the best he can do in 30 days to try to close, the guy's a goner, because he would have to have done better than this with a month of campaigning. He would have to have, if he had any shot at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think this is good. I'm delighted.
Well, actually, I think it's certainly going to be a one. I think it'll be a belt to them. They're gonna have to really do a lot of squealing around about trying to explain them off.
Well, they can put out Corey, and they can put out Gary.
We know Corey's.
Yeah, and they can put out Cadell and stuff to try to give themselves. But inside, they have to know what's happened to them.
Sure.
And they have to be running into this, Mr. President.
Also, if they have honest polls, Cadell's finding the same thing.
Oh, sure. Well, not only that, but they have to be hearing the things from the field we're hearing. I talked this morning with Herb DeSimone. He called me up for some information.
Good. How's he getting along?
Oh, he's 2-1.
Great.
But I said, Herb, what are you finding up there? And he said, well, it doesn't matter where you go. He said, you walk through the shoe plants. He said, you go into the machine tool, Brown and Sharp. And he said, everybody talks about, they're upbeat on the president. He said, you're going to carry this state so big, you're just going to surprise people. And I said, Herb, I have the feeling that they've all made up their minds. He said, oh, Christ, yes. He said, they are just solid. He said, Herb's technique of campaigning, and of course, He's good at this.
And he could do it in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He works the plants. And he said, I just noticed a steady building for the president. He said, it's a very strong feeling. He's very anti-McGovern. And I said, what is it, dope or pot or permissiveness or abortion? And he said, no. He said, it's partially that. He said, every now and then you get somebody who's specific. It's just a general feeling they don't like this guy. And he said, they kind of think he's kooky. And he said, he said that's the word you hear
the
more.
Kooky, yeah.
He's kooky.
And frankly, the getting the don't like also has a lot to do with it. A lot of people thought Goldwater was a little kooky, but there were a damn few people didn't like Goldwater.
That's right.
Did you know that? You know, you hear people that hate McGovern.
Yep.
And of course, I must say, if you hate me, but my point is, I very seldom found anybody that hated Goldwater.
No,
did you?
That's right. He was an attractive fellow. He was honest.
That's right.
And they also, he had a little bit of the non-politician. You know, I remember a picture in the campaign of Goldwater on his horse in Arizona, and he was kind of the non-politician.
That's right.
He had that going for him, which McGovern started with, but then blew it completely. But Herb made another point that I thought was very interesting. I said, Herb, is it all anti-McGovern? He said, no. He said, there's a lot of...
That's the point that we want to get across to the extent that our people can. What did he say again? He said
very pro-Nixon feelings. He said, very strong for the president. He said, there's a feeling that he's really done a damn good job, that he works hard at it, that he's... and he said, of course, Herb said, and the economy's better now. And he said, people are feeling pretty good, and they're kind of happy with the country. And he said, Herb said, it's just a hell of a different mood in this state. He said the Jewish community in Rhode Island has locked on. He said that's solid. I said I don't believe it. He said it's absolutely solid. Of course I know the areas he's talking about. He was telling me where he was this week, and he said they're just absolutely solid. He said the Democratic politicians are demoralized. He said the mayor of Providence is doing nothing. The state chairman is doing nothing. He said they're not lifting a finger. Now McGovern has to be hearing this, and he has to be getting these kind of reports. I'm sure Mankiewicz is a hard-headed guy and is hearing this. I know goddamn well Larry O'Brien's hearing it and has to be hearing it, because these are the same kind of reports Larry would be getting, and they must feel pretty goddamn desperate. And I know this poll is sure as hell going to dampen them. They're going to say, well, it confirms we gained. It's about 3 points.
Yeah.
So they turn another 3 points, and the margin is not 28, but 25.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, they'll say they gained 6, actually, you see, because of that. But that doesn't mean a damn thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, Mr. President.
So next time they gain 12, even. What the hell does that do?
Well, they're not going to.
So then, of course not. What the hell are they going to do it? That's their point.
I think there's one thing about this poll that makes me very happy. I think Gallup showing the same as Harris, and Harris going in the field this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
It's going to keep Harris a little.
Yeah, but Harris is going to stay about where he is. I have a hunch that he'll lock in.
Particularly, be sure Harris knows what's in there, as fine as it is, you know.
Oh, I keep him abreast of that. And,
right.
I think that's what Harris will find him.
Yeah.
But that'll really crush him. Jesus Christ, that's... A week from next Monday, that will come out. That's the 9th. And if that shows that it's stayed right at 28, 29, 27, that'll kill them. Because then they'll realize that all that happened was that following the Republican convention, a little bit of the normal settling back. What the hell? We rose. You've got to look back, too, at what
we were, yeah.
Well, at a low point, remember, of during the Eagle, right during the Eagleton affair, we were 57-34 in Harris.
But we thought that was awfully good, didn't we?
Oh my God, we were talking about 23 points.
That's right. That's
and that was in the first week in August when he was, if he were ever in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. We thought he couldn't go any lower.
That's right. And yet today, 2 months later, he's lower.
That's right.
See, that was 57-34, and take this one at 61-33.
That's right. And Harris,
we're 4 points up. He's 1 point down from the 1st of August, compared to the 1st of August.
That's right.
And he has not only not gained, he's lost since the depths of the Eagleton affair. And if he had an honest press guy, that's what he would report. He would report that the guy is in worse shape today than he was at the depths of the Eagleton fiasco.
It's an interesting thing that that I saw Frank Church was now squealing about the media, claiming that hell did they expect the press to do?
I mean, the first time they ever dropped a vice presidential candidate in history, the press had to write that.
Oh, hell, and shock treatments and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Well, what they're pissed off at is really the way they covered the McGovern flip-flop, you know, the 1,000...
McGovern's handling of it.
McGovern's handling of it is what was so gross. I mean, he went from...
Yeah.
I'm 1,000% behind the guy to...
And then 19.
Well, and forced him out, and it was obvious he was forcing him out because
right.
of the way Eagleton performed and that crazy dame Westwood going on calling for...
Incidentally, we haven't heard a thing from her lately, have we?
Every
what
now and then...
What the hell is she doing?
Well, every now and then you hear something from her.
I think they probably found that she was a liability, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
They're locking her up.
Absolutely.
Because I think her mannishness, Chuck, I think just probably turned off men and women.
That's right. Well, sure. What it does is confirm, I mean,
yeah.
This party tomorrow is for both men and women, but they're both homos and lesbians. I mean, they put that dame on, and that's what the American people, a large majority, when you go into these blue-collar precincts, a large majority, frankly, some will focus on dope or amnesty or kooks or fags. I mean, that bothers people. And so every time they put Westwood on, hell,
incidentally, on the fag thing, well, a lot of them, like many, will say it. A lot more will not say it, but
think of it.
But when they hear McGovern, they think he's faggy.
Uh-huh.
You know, because of, you know, the Liberace thing. And also, Shriver acts a faggy. He doesn't, you know.
Swishy. He's
a swishy, you know.
He really does.
Yeah.
The two of them do, Mr.
Yeah.
President. They're, well,
they're just two.
Put it this way, they're not masculine in the sense that Teddy Gleason can look
right.
at him and say, there's a real man. And,
that's right.
They
right.
and the but they say that about you. That's the that's what Teddy Gleason on television on that marvelous clip out of New York saying he's we got the right man at the right time for this country. Oh, it's great. Yeah, that's
really great.
Our people look at that and say, gee, what an inarticulate fellow he is. Well, millions of people are inarticulate.
Millions of people, that gets through to them.
That's right. It's the common man. It's the taxi driver business.
That's correct. Well, anyway, this will have some fun. You might give Scammon a call if he's got anything to report. You can call me back, okay?
I'll call him right now. Yes,
right.
Sir. Thank you.
No hurry.
Right.